Over the weekend, the death was announced of legendary movie producer and studio boss Robert Evans. He was 89. With only limited experience as a movie producer, Robert Evans became head of Paramount Pictures in the late 1960s. He was credited with turning around the company with a string of critically and commercially successful movies, including Love Story, Rosemary's Baby, The Godfather, and Chinatown. His career came to a typically Hollywood end in the 1980s through a mixture of arrogance and drug abuse. But in his 1994 memoir, which was turned into a movie in 2002, it is regarded as a much read for those who want to get under the skin of Tinseltown. Michael O'Doherty, who is used to being under the skin of Tinseltown, is here and looking back of the career and the legacy of Robert Evans. Robert Evans is a very controversial figure, isn't he? Even though he's a big hit maker.
He is a big hit maker. He is that. He's a classic. He's almost like the archetypal Hollywood producer. He himself loved the idea of being a throwback to the producers of the 1930s and 40s, who are these flamboyant guys. They were emperors in their own kingdom. And he was that type of character very early on. Like you mentioned, all that list of movies that he produced. He was only 36 when he first went to Paramount. So he was producing at a time when Hollywood, especially when Paramount was, their fortunes were declining. He arrived in like a breath of fresh air, took on the system, and he gave what was known as, the guys were known as the Easy Riders and Raging Bulls, that young breed of Hollywood filmmaker who appeared in the late 70s, the Arthur Penns, the Francis Coppolas, the Scorseses, those days. He gave them their head at a time when other studios were saying, no, we don't want to trust these young guys.
And why at such a young age did he make a jump from a not very successful or very good actor to being the head of Paramount Pictures?
I think it was his personality. He was a very brash guy. Everything he did, like early on he was involved in the fashion business. His fashion business did very well and it was sold for $2 million to Revlon. Then he got involved. He always wanted to be a producer. He liked the idea of being the boss, of being the guy in this sort of Hollywood and Tinseltown era. So he went out to Hollywood with the express intention of making it as a producer, and he had a few bob. But early on he decided, what I need to do is I need to get a handle on good stories. So he got to know the publishers in Hollywood, and he got to know the guys, and so he found out the books that were coming. He would read the galleys. He would get the word on, this is a good story. So early on, before even the book was produced, in the early 60s, it would be if a book became a bestseller, then the studio would option it and it would cost a fortune. He went the opposite way.
So when we're talking about Rosemary's Baby or Chinatown, he would have got the original novels based on.
He would have seen the galleys famously of The Godfather, and he would have gone to Mario Puzo. Like, had you bought the rights to The Godfather after its release, it would have cost an absolute fortune because it was a huge bestseller. But he's smart enough to go, I think this could make a very, very strong movie.
Now, there are many legendary anecdotes that Robert Evans came out with, but this one I think is very famous. After seeing the first cut of The Godfather, he was very disappointed and he decided to show this disappointment to Francis Ford Coppola. Here's a clip from the 2002 movie, The Kid Stays in the Picture, where he recalls that encounter.
It was the unveiling of Francis's cut of The Godfather. In the theater sat Francis with his quadrilla of assistants and editors and askuses, plus the rest of his production team were all there. The film was to open in 4 months, Paramount's big Christmas gift to the world. The lights went down, the picture started. 2 hours and 6 minutes later, the room began to fill with light. Francis, I want to speak with you, alone. I was on fire, and the prince himself took a half hour to get to my office. Thanks for showing, Francis. I couldn't help it. All my boys were telling me how great the picture is. They tell me not to touch a frame. The picture stinks, Francis. Got it? You shot a great film. Where the fuck is it? In your kitchen with your spaghetti? It sure ain't on the screen. Where's the family, the heart, the feeling? Is that left in the kitchen, too? Ooh, did Coppola glare. Schmuck. Name me a studio head that tells a director to make a picture longer. Only a nut like me would. But you're gonna do it. You shot a saga, pal, but you turned in a trailer. Now go back and give me a movie.
you shot a saga but turned in a trailer. What a line.
It's very typical, actually, of Evans, who was described as the least bachelor producer in Hollywood history. But also what he doesn't say in that story or in any of the stories is that, yes, he gave Coppola the green light to extend the movie, but he also fought against Al Pacino. He wanted Robert Redford. He also fought against Brando. And he had a lot of problems with Coppola as well. So there are two sides, and this is the essence of the Evans character, is that there were two sides. He was a genius at certain elements in Hollywood and filmmaking and in producing, but also he rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way as well, and that's why he didn't last at the very top for very long.
I saw a clip today where he's showing the happiest day of his life. The Godfather has just been premiered and he's dancing with his beautiful wife, Ally McGraw, but he says it was all a lie because that marriage was about to fall apart.
Yes, it was like he was married seven times or nine times. I think he even lost count himself. But so I don't think it wasn't the key part of his life. He was he comes across as a very talented guy, a very driven guy, but quite a lonely guy, despite the wives and the producers and their friends. When you read that autobiography and you read what people have written about him, he flew too close to the sun very early on in his life, and he never quite survived the fall.
And what was the fall? How did the fall come about?
Well, you mentioned earlier in your introduction, you mentioned the drugs. I mean, cocaine was a factor. Also, he chose projects like, early on, he had the Midas touch. Everything, even the sort of less obvious stuff like Harold and Maude and The Odd Couple as a comedy just turned to gold. But then he started backing losers, movies that didn't work, movies like Popeye, and he was gotten really heavily involved in the Cotton Club, which lost a ton of money, and it was shrouded in controversy. There was a murder in the background to it. He became basically someone that people didn't want a part of. So when the new Hollywood in the 80s were coming, when the new breed was coming in, he was seen as a dinosaur and he was tainted, and he didn't have the success. Had it been in the early 70s, he would have been kept on because he was the man who brought us The Godfather, but by then he wasn't.
And the kid stays in the picture, the fact that that was a book and then made into a movie. Did that bring him renewed success?
It did. He was always producing in the background, but it never quite worked. Like, he was trying to, he bought the Two Jakes, but then he had big rows with Robert Towne, who had been involved in, obviously, in Chinatown. He had rows with Coppola, who he had supported for Godfather. Coppola then threw him off the set of The Cotton Club, which is like a typical arc of the way Evans works in his life and the people who were around him. I mean, famously, somebody once said that in 1979, he was worth $11 million. In 1989, he was worth $37. A lot happened in between.
Michael Doherty has been talking to me about legendary movie producer and studio executive Robert Evans, whose death at the age of 89 was announced over the weekend. Michael, thank you.